and historical truths that also could perhaps make some sense if you want to take the biblical text seriously, which of course Spinoza would not take seriously. But how do you justify ceremonial law? How do ceremonies really link up with the rest? Isn't this like apples and oranges? Eternal truths of reason on the one hand, ceremonial laws of keeping kosher. What do we need it for? What does morality and ethics and rationality have to do with what you put in your mouth? Why should you think that ceremonial law has anything to do with piety and religiosity in the first place? And here Mendelssohn must somehow meet the challenge of explaining ceremonial law. What ceremonies do, says Mendelssohn, is they provide a unique way for the Jewish people who exemplify a purer form of religion. This is a very abstract argument on behalf of ceremonial law, which is difficult to understand, and perhaps, I'm not going to even say perhaps, it is unconvincing. And you will see it as unconvincing with respect to his own children who did not follow his path. What he argues essentially is that ceremonial law is a kind of ceremonial script, a kind of symbolic language to remind us of a rational truth. In other words, by disciplining myself, by keeping kosher, by separating milk and meat, by doing certain ceremonial laws, somehow it makes me a better person, and therefore I become more moral and ethically sensitive to the world at large. Now, you may buy that argument, particularly if you're a traditional Jew, or you may say, what do you mean? Why those rituals? Why not these rituals? Why any rituals? Can I be moral and ethical just by thinking, just by doing, just by acting ethically? What does ceremonial law have to do with ethics, morality, being a good person in the first place? What he also does, and I want to throw this out as an additional idea, is that he designates the Jewish people. And here again, he is trying to win brownie points with respect to Christianity. Notice that he is distinguishing Judaism from Christianity. Because Judaism has this ceremonial law, because it has this ceremonial script, because it leads Jews down the right path, they have a kind of spiritual mission. Their pure monotheistic faith really leads. It demonstrates the value of good humanity, of good moral action, and it leaves its impression upon the rest of the world. You will see that Abraham Geiger and other thinkers who will follow him, and we will hear about Geiger very, very shortly, use this idea of the mission of Israel as an idea to designate a specific purpose for the Jewish people. Why are they around? They are there through their own cohesiveness, which is preserved by the law, to act as a moral example to the universe as a whole. In a world which is not perfect, in a world which is pre-messianic, there is a need for this community of faith to act upon its principles to provide an example to the world. One might ask the question already, and it will be asked later on in terms of Jewish thought, isn't this presumptuous? Why are Jews any better than anybody else? Why is their morality and ethics and their ceremonies superior to anyone else? And if you're asking for a question from Mendelssohn, you won't get it explicitly, not at all. But nevertheless, Mendelssohn struggles with the notion of holding on to ceremony. At the same time, he wants to be an Enlightenment person who is committed to the ethical values of the Enlightenment based upon reason. Mendelssohn thus constructs a bold new definition of Judaism, but it fails to persuade. And here we are ready to speak a little bit about his own family members. Mendelssohn constructed the new principles of Judaism for the modern world. Here is the first serious articulation of a response to Spinoza and to the Enlightenment in general. Here is an argument for intellectual freedom, the eternal verities of faith, combined with the individual observance of the law, the historical truths of the Bible, together with the ceremonial law. They all can join together, Mendelssohn believed. And therefore, I can be a Jew at home. I can be a Jew in terms of my total existence of ceremonies, ritual, practices, mitzvot. At the same time, I can hang out with Kant and all of these guys in Berlin and enjoy this intellectual give and take. I can be an Enlightenment person committed to Enlightenment values. And at the same time, I can also be a good Jew. But was it really possible? And here I want to spend the remaining moments of this lecture in trying to understand why it didn't work